from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host JT the Brick on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Final hour of the show, and it's a big one. We had it first here on the Jim Rome Show, no debate, because we had Dan Wetzel on hold when it broke. The news of the Pac-12 reshaping. We'll get to that in a moment. We're coming to you live from Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Michelle Beadle is going to join us here in a few moments. This is a tremendous story. John Wilner reported it first. He covers college football for San Jose Mercury News. Source: USC and UCLA are planning to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024. The move has not been finalized at the highest level of power. This is LIV Golf, PGA Tour. This is a blockbuster. And our job here is to take this story and move it forward, because now we know the news. If you're just hearing it now, it's breaking news. Everybody's covering it. And my first thought is, yeah, it's a money grab. Life's a money grab. The world is a money grab. LIV Golf is a good example of these great golfers leaving the PGA Tour only for money, nothing else, not the competition. The money is enormous. Well, it's the same thing. If USC has the balls to leave the Pac-12 and to break up every rivalry that ever mattered out on the West Coast for more money, Dan Wetzel put it perfectly. USC doesn't need more money. USC doesn't care about television ratings. USC cares about championships, Heisman trophies, playing games at the refurbished Coliseum. You think that USC cares about playing a Big Ten game at Illinois if the ratings are a little bit better? You got to be kidding me. So if USC goes, and look, when Oklahoma and Texas left, I get the SEC because it's kind of in the region because of Texas A&M. I understand that. I don't get this at all. Because if USC needs the money this bad, there could be 10 USC alumni who are billionaires, not worth a couple hundred million. I'm talking billions, who could stop this. But this is incredible breaking news today if it happens. Remember, no one knew that LIV Golf was coming until it came. And this happens today. So there's never an offseason in sports. There's always big news. And I love when certain sports steal the highlights from another sport. Because tonight we're supposed to be talking about the start of NBA free agency. If you missed the beginning of the show, I went through all the players that I think really moved the needle on this, especially James Harden opting out so he can sign an extension. Russell Westbrook can't be moved because of his $47 million. And then what we've been talking about with Kawhi Leonard for weeks now, the head case in Brooklyn, and what is he going to do? He lost all of his leverage because he hasn't been available, and now he's available, but Brooklyn might not want him. Remember, Brooklyn watched this crap go down. They saw the fact that Kyrie wasn't in the building one night because he was at his sister's and father's birthday party. Unexcused. Even the commissioner of the NBA didn't do anything about it. He should have got a long suspension. They were afraid to do it. Suspended him for a couple of games. So Kyrie Irving might have run out of luck in Brooklyn. The best thing going for Kyrie is the fact that Kevin Durant is still there. Because if Kyrie opts in, which he did, he gets to play with Durant. And Ben Simmons could be a hell of a player if he learns how to play basketball again. He needs coaching at the highest level to turn him around. And my sources are telling me that Steve Nash and Kyrie don't get along. They don't get along. So that could be the big deal. Steve Nash and ownership could be saying what's happening there. Michelle Beadle is going to join us coming up here in a moment. We'll get her on. She's fantastic. She knows new media versus old media. And she's a fantastic broadcaster. She's got a great history in the NBA. The disciplinary hearing is now day three with Deshaun Watson. Nothing new to add tonight, today, but maybe tonight there'll be an announcement there. I think they'll try to drop it before the 4th of July. If not, they'll do a news dump over the 4th of July and right after that. This is incredible to me. Amazing day today, being in the jungle. Come on, clones. I got jungle karma coming in here on some breaking news today with a lot happening here with the XR4 TI coming off the smack off. Thrilled to talk to Michelle Beadle. What a broadcaster. All the platforms that she has, from social media to podcast to our great broadcasting career. And Michelle, I wanted to jump in and welcome you to the Jim Rome Show and ask how you're doing and how excited you are tonight for NBA free agency.
Oh, hasn't started yet. That's right. I'm good. First of all, thanks for having me. This is awesome. NBA just has done an amazing job of not really paying attention to deadlines. So much has happened in the last 24, 36 hours that I feel like we're very much deep into free agency. I'm, you know, James Harden, and obviously here in San Antonio, Spurs fans are a little perplexed, but yeah. I think it's going to be okay in time. I like to say in time when I don't really have a great answer for when.
Well, what happened with DeJounte Murray? I mean, you got a great piece, and this team has had some of the great Hall of Famers to play in the last 20 years, and it just seemed like he was a perfect fit and loved it there, traded for Gallinari and three unprotected first-round picks, and he was an all-star. How did that deal come about?
Right. I think there's been so much reporting on it from both, you know, people that you and I probably very much respect, all the way down to I don't know who that is, but who knows? Oh, goodness, that's the dog. And so I think a lot of pieces went into this. I think part of it, and Windhorse was the first on that, was that he didn't want to sign the extension, which, you know, lessons have been learned through the course of all of these Spurs years. And I think the idea being, let's go now when we can get the most for DeJounte Murray moving forward, because you do have to look at the future. And if he didn't necessarily want to stay here, and look, at the end of the day, sure, on the outside, it always seems everybody gets along and loves each other, but I suppose we don't really know. So I don't know behind closed doors what relationships were actually like. But at first, I probably had the same reaction everybody else did. I was actually in a doctor's appointment, and the doctor and I found out at the exact same time. We were like, what the heck is going on? And then I sat down and I thought about it, and I was like, okay, get some value, build towards the future. You've got these three first-round draft picks that have just gotten here into town, and start to kind of look to the future. And I know everyone's already talking tank, tank, tank. And look, I don't know. Who knows? As a Spurs fan, it worked last time. But I'm not saying that that's what they're necessarily going to try to do again. I think it's going to be okay. And you know, for the Atlanta Hawks, my goodness, they just became exciting again. So to me, it's a win-win. It just seems a lot sexier if you're a Hawks fan than it probably does if you're a Spurs fan today.
Michelle Beadle is our guest, works for the Spurs. And what's interesting on the platforms in San Antonio is no one wanted to leave this community. I love it there, too. I've spent a lot of my career there. So David Robinson stays. Duncan's a legend. Manu, Tony Parker, all the great players. Bruce Bowen is a god in that city. And then Kawhi leaves. And now you see this move here, and you go, wait a second, and Pop's still there. Why would you leave? Because everybody who's been there and settled in San Antonio and been a part of that franchise wants to stay.
I do think that there is a specific person that enjoys and wants to stay here long term. And I look, as somebody who left for a really, really long time and has just now returned, I get it. I actually can see both sides of that very clearly, because I never thought I would return here. So we were talking about a very specific type, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, those guys, and Tony Parker splits his time because he's all over the place. It's a very sort of small town, safe, people leave you alone kind of environment. But as we all know, that's not for everybody. And especially sort of the younger groups that are coming in, it's not, I hate to use the word again, it's not as sexy as some of the other places. People are much more about their quote-unquote brands, and they want to get out there, and they want to be sort of in the spotlight. And this is just not that vibe. And so everyone that you describe is anti-spotlight. And I think the new gen – and look, Kawhi's not spotlight either, but he was very much key on wanting to be back on the West Coast. And that, I get that as well, because he's allergic to spotlight, as we all know, in very much the same way as the other men that you mentioned. But San Antonio is a specific vibe for people, and it's not for everyone. And I could see how – you know, you may come here and be like, this isn't for me. It's a little too quiet. It's a little too this. It's a little too that. And you want to move on. I mean, look, the nightlife alone, San Antonio versus Atlanta, just blows my mind. I think
blurred
it's
lines.
Be a whole different world.
Michelle
so
Beadle.
You know what? You're young. It's good for you.
Michelle Beadle is our guest. So I've been dying to ask you this question because we know these teams. I want to go to the Warriors that just won a championship. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to the 2014 Spurs that I believe they are a dynasty. I have them as a better team because the Warriors missed the playoffs the last couple of years. Pop and the Spurs didn't. I mean, they were a dynasty, and they were going back and going back, and that team was a great team. How do you compare the Spurs and the Spurs dynasty to the Warriors now, thinking that they have a dynasty going again?
Well, the homer in me is like, this isn't even a real question. Obviously, San Antonio is a better dynasty, but I'll say this. I think there are so many great similarities from the very basic of the building of the team sort of from the inside and being a little bit patient as you kind of get to the place that you need to get to. I think revenge and motivation being two of those things is also key. For me, I had the Warriors winning everything back in November, and it was literally based 1,000% on
revenge and having to have, you know, sort of sat 2 years out and watched the rest of the world gush and talk about everybody else, and more specifically about the Lakers in the same state, and have to sit there and listen to it, and just it makes you seethe because you know who you are and what you're capable of doing, and being out of the playoffs for 2 years ain't it. And so for me, them coming back this year and doing that felt like after the Spurs had been knocked out by the Heat, and we all know how that following season was just, for me personally, one of the greatest sports seasons of my entire life. And those are very big similarities. I do. I think the Warriors very much are a destiny. Now, can they win, what is it, 3 of the next 4 that Draymond's calling? That's a heck of a pull. If you can, then good for you, and I'm going to put all my money on it today. But it's a dynasty, yes. Different, probably. But I wouldn't take anything away from them. I'm just a homer, so I'm always going to put San Antonio first. And I'm going to be honest about it, so nobody can come at me.
We appreciate your honesty. Michelle Beadle joins us, and it's a great segue. You just mentioned Draymond. So we're hearing this term, new media versus old media. And I'm dying to get your opinion on this because you've been on really big platforms, and when you were with ESPN, and now when people think of new media, it's more about athletes, Draymond, J.J. Redick, athletes who played the game explaining it, compared to what they say about old media, which is some people just bashing players from day to day because they have a bad game. And the players who are younger and just getting into media are saying, we're done with that. We want to talk more about the game. What's your impression of this whole debate, new media versus old media?
Well, on paper, and the way that you just described it exactly, yeah, that sounds great. But I don't think that that's what we've seen come to fruition so far. I think the idea of new media being X's and O's based and sort of making us all a bit smarter on the game itself is a wonderful plan, and I'm all for it. But we haven't seen that. Like, I haven't really seen Draymond Green break it down. I've seen him attack people, and I've seen him go after people, and I've seen him be uber defensive for a guy who just won a championship, which I don't understand. J.J. Redick's done probably a little better job, although he's also gone after, you know, the older generations in a way that reeks of sort of young person arrogance. And I'm caught in the middle. Like, I'm 46, so I'm like, okay, sometimes I feel like I'm a young idiot. Sometimes I feel like I'm an old person. So I'm sitting there kind of watching it all happen. They're no different. They're probably louder. They've got more platforms to spread the word, obviously, than any of us ever had. And so we're going to hear what they say a lot quicker. But I'll be honest with you, you know, if you're paid by TNT at this point in the game, you do have to be careful, because as free as you think you might be and touchable and, you know, the next Charles Barkley, which I'm assuming is what's in his mind, there are ramifications for certain things that you say publicly. And so it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out, because freedom is freedom until your boss says enough. And so, as we know in the old media, yeah, they can fire your butt real quick. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I want it to be fun. I do like it. And I like the CJ McCollum's coming out and sort of calling out some of the talking heads for things they say that aren't accurate. I do love that. But I don't know if there's such a difference between new and old media.
Michelle Beadle, as we wrap it up, when you mentor other broadcasters, if you talk to people trying to break into the business, what did you learn at the highest level with your work at ESPN and ABC and, you know, being on during an NBA Finals and the rat race of this business? As people come and go and come and go and other people want other people's jobs, you've had a front row seat for that. What have you learned going through that process?
Oh, man. You know, you got to keep your friends, your real friends close, especially the ones that have nothing to do with this business. They're the best people to have around at all times. And honestly, it's always been don't be a jerk. Like, just don't, and I use a different word, but it's just not worth it. Because when it's all said and done, no matter how it plays out, you want to at least be able to look in the mirror and have a good conscience about how you did your part in whatever goes down. And so that's it. Like, I'm not going to say trust no one, but don't be naive. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing sort of the new faces emerge. And I've reached out to some of them, and they have their heads on straight because they're dealing with it as we're watching it in real time. And it's a journey, and it will always be that way. But you just kind of have to remember who you are and keep doing your job. That's it. That's all you can do.
You got a great podcast. Tell everybody where they can find it.
Oh, it's What Did I Miss? Wherever you find your podcast, that sentence is so ridiculous, but it really is wherever you can find your podcast. And it's really become a podcast about what the heck is going on and then nothing at all. It's the Seinfeld on a much lesser success rate. So there you go.
Great explanation. Thanks for doing this, Michelle. It's a big day with NBA free agency, the breaking news in San Antonio. Thanks for making time for me. I really appreciate it.
Nope. Love hearing you on here. It's been awesome. I appreciate it.
You got it. Michelle Beadle. As San Antonio gets rid of one of their best players ahead of NBA free agency in Atlanta, now has a loaded backcourt. We'll come back also a little bit later on before the show ends with the top free agents here and who are still some of the blockbuster deals that can go down from Zach LaVine. But I just love this news on the Pac-12. I'm not happy about it for the Pac-12, but I'm happy for all college football fans and basketball fans. We don't think of basketball. We're thinking of football. SC and UCLA leaving for the Big Ten. If that's true, it's going to be an interesting dinner I have here tonight with a certain group of guys I'm going out to dinner with who are USC fanatics. JT in for Jim Rome. I'm wide open the rest of the way. 800-636-8686. Send a tweet at JT the Brick. We continue on the verge of NBA free agency in Los Angeles.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
JT back in for Jim Rome at Jim Rome on Twitter at JT the Brick. If you want to get through, appreciate that. Really enjoyed our guest today. Hope you did. Michelle Beadle. Great to get Dan Wetzel on with the breaking news with the Pac-12. Chris Myers and Andrew Siciliano. As we're taking your calls at 800-636-8686. Now it's all over that USC and UCLA, two of the Pac-12's flagship programs, are considering leaving the conference for the Big Ten as early as 2024. So that's going to come up here pretty quickly. In 2022, it could be a goodbye lap for USC and the Pac-12 and for their fans here and for UCLA fans. All the fans here out west have got to be thinking about this, saying, how could this happen? And the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is the Rose Bowl. You peak for the Rose Bowl, and now the Rose Bowl's a money grab. But it used to be, hey, we're going to go see the Pac-12 beat the Big Ten or vice versa in the greatest game, the granddaddy of them all. Now to have USC and UCLA playing in that conference, it is shocking to me. I'm not shocked about Oklahoma and Texas. I'm not, because of the regional rivalries and what they want to do. I'm really shocked about this news on the Pac-12, and I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it's the same thing that happened to the PGA Tour. LIV Golf pops up. LIV Golf starts throwing all this insane money around. And then the PGA Tour all of a sudden goes, oh, well, we found money. Open that closet door. Oh, we found another $200 million. You don't have to play as much golf. You can play less, and we'll give you more money. Maybe by USC and UCLA flexing, the billionaires, whom a lot of them run television and movies, say, no, we don't need to do this. Does USC care that much about making more television money in the Big Ten, considering their USC and what they're worth and their endowment? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. All right, let's keep it going here. Out to the Knight Riders of the 206 in Oregon. But a Seattle fan, the Duck, Trigger, joins us. Trigger, can you believe the breaking news?
JT, unbelievable. Leave it to USC to start this crap. First of all, great to have you on Rome, dude. This is great. I look up at my TV and I see my good buddy, JT the Brick, that I've known for almost 25 years. I've been calling your shows. Just for the callers or the listeners out there, JT's the first winner of the Smack Off, everybody, okay? I know most people know this. I know they better know this. But, hey, there might be some listeners that don't know. But anyways, calling from a dirty payphone from Las Vegas or San Diego back in the day, really, really strong. Anyways, okay, let's get on with this news about USC and UCLA. Nothing's going to happen without the Oregon Ducks. Let me tell you that right now. Okay, with Nike money and Phil Knight, JT, we move the needle. Okay, Washington State and Oregon State don't. Now, I hate to say it, but Washington is probably in there as well. Our athletic budgets are too big to leave us in the dust, okay? The West Coast is toast if this happens, okay? There's no more West Coast football. This is a tragedy, man. This is really bad. I can't believe you're celebrating this crap, dude. This is not good for the West Coast where we all live, okay? But ultimately, and this was talked about a year ago, there's going to be two power conferences if this moves along. That's the deal, okay? So if that ultimately happens, which it probably will, I hate to say it, Oregon and Washington are going to go to the SEC or the Big Ten. They're not going to stay in this Pac-12 or whatever the hell it's going to be called, Mountain West or whatever. So, yeah, dude, this is not good for college football. And NIL hasn't been good, even though Oregon can play at the top level with NIL. With this Nike money, dude, it's unbelievable. Dan Lanning and this new staff at Oregon, look out. I mean, he's recruiting like an animal. He's got an all-star staff of recruiters. And they opened the season against Georgia. But, yeah, this news is not good, JT, at all for the Pac-12. Now, real quick, without talking, you know, I can't talk to you on the Rome Show without talking about cute Russell Wilson. You know what? You know what pretty much all my buddies and everybody in this town says? Bye. We're done with you. We're done with you. The guy's an egomaniac. And you know what? It's about him and Sierra now. Remember, ever since Sierra moved into the picture, it's about her. Denver's the closest thing to Las Vegas, JT. Remember, if he didn't have Carr or sign him to a deal, he'd be in Las Vegas. And let me tell you something. He's the fourth best QB in that conference. So guess what, Russell Wilson? Let's ride, buddy. Ride your butt right out of Seattle. Thank you. You did us a favor. You're overpaid, and you're on the back end of your career. You'll never win big again. Love to talk to you, buddy.
Trigger. Wow. Trigger. Kicking Russell Wilson goodbye. It is about Sierra. I'm a Derek Carr guy. Derek Carr was going nowhere. Derek Carr is an excellent quarterback. He's not elite yet, but he's on the verge of doing it. And Russell went to Denver because he's right. Sierra didn't want to be in Seattle anymore. And there is kind of a rebuild going on with the Seahawks. And I don't look, Russell's going to a franchise that was just sold with a lot of money in Denver. And I think he'll improve the team. But they lost a lot of players to get him. And I don't think Denver's going to be a playoff team this year. The Raiders are better than Denver. The Chargers are better than Denver. And that's the case there. Trigger made a really good point about Oregon. Oregon's got Nike money, Phil Knight money. So why wouldn't they move? Well, they don't have to because they can stay. The point we're trying to make before I get out of here, everybody, at the top of the hour, there's no need to go for a money grab if you're a billionaire. If you're worth hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, or you have the endowment that USC has, or Stanford or Harvard, you don't have to run around for a money grab. It defeats you. It makes you look bad. But we're in a time now in college sports where we're looking at super conferences. Super conferences are now the SEC and the Big Ten. Clemson and Notre Dame are the next teams on the move. How does Notre Dame not go to the Big Ten if USC's coming? That's a great rivalry, USC and Notre Dame. Clemson not staying in the ACC. Notre Dame independent. If this is happening with SC, man, Lincoln Riley, everybody here in Southern California is kissing his ass. My son goes to Oklahoma. They're not kissing Lincoln Riley's ass in Oklahoma. And Lincoln Riley, believe me, and cut this tape up, had no intention of going from Oklahoma to USC to find out he's going to the bleeping Big Ten. If he could go back in the hot tub time machine, Lincoln Riley stays at Oklahoma, gets as much money as he wants, and recruits the best quarterbacks in the country. Now to go to SC and not even enjoy the experience of SC and have to get on a plane every week and go to the Big Ten to play Illinois, my wife's alma mater, which we love, but come on. What's shocking news today? Ryan in Sacramento on the Jim Rome Show. Ryan, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Doing well. How you doing, JT?
Couldn't be better. Thank you.
Excellent, brother. Nice to have you back in the chair. Real quick on the Pac-12 situation. It does affect the student athletes. Just what you said. You have to hop on a plane and you're going halfway across the conference or halfway across the country for half of your games. But, hey, I wanted to go back and touch on the Deshaun Watson situation. Mm-hmm. Kind of has me befuddled. The NFL's timeline on dropping the hammer on punishment has literally been slower than Jeff in Richmond waddling to the fridge. You know, shame on the Browns for financing Deshaun's settlements. Shame on the NFL. And honestly, shame on the Texans. Allegedly, per se. But sorry, I can't say any more about that because they had me sign an NDA.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. He's right about a couple of things. You tell me the Texans didn't know about Deshaun Watson's behavior? With security, team security, knowing that Deshaun Watson was floating in to random massage parlors and going through the internet to find his next masseuse, and no one in that organization knew about it and didn't hear of anything? Give me a break. So he's right about the Texans. And he also talked about Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, has financed the legal fees for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was worth $230 million. I'm not saying he's a great player, but not guaranteed. This is the problem with the contract. Deshaun Watson signs that contract, and then the next thing you do, you cut him. You cut him, and you lose $60 million in the guaranteed money. You lose that, but you move on. You give him $230 million guaranteed. How ridiculously stupid are they in the Browns organization in their war room right now, watching the Jim Rome show, watching me fill in? Who works for that organization, for that owner, that sat there and said, all this is happening in Houston. Do we have an FBI, former FBI guy? Can we do some due diligence? Oh, no, let's give them $230 million guaranteed. And they're on the hook for that? A lot of women who are Browns fans. They're not going to accept Deshaun Watson unless he gets a year. As I opened up the show earlier and said, you take him out for a year. All good. What he did, allegedly, to those women, he's paying for it the rest of his life. His reputation's gone. Gone. So he'll have to pay for that. And that's a big, big fee to pay. But the money's never going to hurt him because he's got unlimited money. But the Browns, once again, make a ridiculously dumb mistake. This isn't Tim Couch and eating his contract, everybody. Okay? This is $230 million guaranteed in a division that have the famed Steelers and now Joe Burrow and LaMarcus Jackson. As I said, LaMarcus Jackson should be throwing pool parties in Vegas every weekend now. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm just going to Vegas, bottle of bub, getting in a pool, and spending money because he's going to get $240 million guaranteed and he deserves it. Rock and roll radio in the Motor City of Detroit. Benny Jett checking in, a longtime friend of the show. Benny, how are you?
JT, people love the energy. They love the excitement. Jim Harbaugh loves energy and excitement. The U of M, the Rose Bowl, they love the Big Ten growth. Sadly, though, Harbaugh will probably be coaching in the pros by then. So all this news, it's interesting, but won't really affect his career probably.
That's a great point you make about Harbaugh. Everybody here in L.A. where I am is wondering about it, USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. What does Harbaugh do? He finally gets to the Final Four. Urban Meyer's gone, and he's got a chance now to dominate there, and then you bring in USC and Lincoln Riley. It makes the road much tougher for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan.
Well, it makes the spotlight much brighter, and I think they still appreciate that. Hey, JT, your buddy 7-Eleven Daryl called me. He said, JT's a Yankee fan. He says, Benny, you're from Detroit. Call him and tell him it was 45 years ago tonight that Mark the Bird Fidrich defeated the New York Yankees 5-1 in front of a national audience on Monday Night Football. He had great control. He didn't walk a single batter, and he ended up on the cover of Sports Illustrated, which was a really big thing back in the day.
Thanks, Benny. Good to hear from you. You're right. Monday Night Baseball, not football. And the Bird, Mark Fidrich, and I definitely had that cover. I collected every Sports Illustrated when I was a kid until someone threw it out or I misplaced it. I love that. I'm a big Yankee fan. My wife calls me Cranky Yankee when they lose. Got it from my dad. When the Yankees lose big games, I leave the house. I walk around the block. I cool off. And I haven't been Cranky Yankee this year. Could this be the greatest Yankee team of my lifetime? I won the Smack-Off in 1995, and the Yankees became a dynasty. I'm back in this chair all these years later, coming off Caleb winning, and the Yankees could be starting a dynasty again. You know, the Yankees strike out a lot. They play poorly. I mean, Rizzo's a great addition. Gallo is just brutal at the plate. But every walk-off win, the pitching's been unbelievable. The back end of the bullpen has been incredible. Really happy for the Yankees, bringing me peace this summer, enjoying their games. We'll have a Judge walk-off a little bit later on in the show. All right, when we come back, last segment to get you in here, 800-636-8686. I'll tell you who's the biggest free agent moving to another team as we continue live in the jungle. Heading to San Diego for the weekend. Some golf, cervezas, fish tacos, and the Lahaina. The Jim Rome Show continues. Here's Rich Ackerman with your sports update.
CBS Sports Radio.
JT, back with you. Last time to get in, 800-636-8686. 1-800-636-7686, at JT the Brick, at Jim Rome. On Twitter, what a day today. I feel like I need to lock up my vehicle at my swanky Costa Mesa hotel tonight. Like there might be some USC-UCLA rioting going on. Everybody's just picking it up. I'm looking at all the cameras here in front of me and all the monitors on all the other networks. Now everybody's breaking in. They're making sure they're getting makeup. They're getting everybody in their chairs to talk USC-UCLA. All these Pac-12 and college football insiders are on vacation. They're gone. As this breaking news is that they might be leaving, and now they're all getting called back to work because this could happen. Again, I think USC fans, UCLA fans too, because you know, the rivalry means a lot, and they'll still have a rivalry. But now you'll only be able to see USC play UCLA, okay, at the Rose Bowl. You'll get a chance to see that game at the Coliseum. But then you're going to have to switch out all your games if this happens. No more USC-Washington. You know how great those trips are for SC fans to go on these boat trips at Washington? They have tailgating on the water. Is that going to be gone? The Oregon game. Everything is going to be gone. And I think the good news is for the Big Ten fans. Because Big Ten fans would love to come out to Southern California and get a road trip out of it. So if you're, you know, Big Ten school and you want to go out and see UCLA, you get an opportunity to do that. But it is shocking news today, and we'll have more on it tomorrow as we get ready. A couple of the tweets coming in. David the Rocket Guy, JT. How in the world were you able to get a gloss like that? JT the Brick, I was named by Jim Rome, JT the Brick, because I was JT in La Jolla, and I entered the first ever. Back then, it was the Great American Smack-Off, and I entered it in with a whole bunch of guys back in the day. Won it. And retired from calling. Everybody says, why don't you call anymore? Because I said I'd never come in third. I'd never come in ninth. And I wouldn't have someone in my ear saying, hang up, you lost. So I'm a one-and-doner. And you don't have to be a one-and-doner. There's some guys a lot better than me who have called in, and they're in the smack-off every year, and they competed. And I listened to the last hour the other day, and there were some great calls. The CEO in SoCal. I love the UCLA-USC move. Pac-12 football is bad football. He's right about that. It is pretty bad football overall, but there's some bad football at the bottom end of the SEC, everybody. Okay, you ever see Vanderbilt and some of the dogs at the bottom there? There's some walkover games in the SEC. Big John Cooper, JT, awesome to hear you today. And for Jim, I go back to the Bay Area days, go Raiders. Do you remember Rick and Quincy Mass? I do. I remember all the old-time callers, and a lot of them have been tweeting and coming back at me. Jeff Garrett, great job today, JT. I ordered your book to read in Hawaii. My book, The Handoff, about my mentor, great program director, Andrew Ashwood. I know there's some program directors watching now. It's a book I wrote in behalf of Andrew Ashwood, my program director who passed away. And Bella B, heard you give some NBA Eastern Conference picks. Where do you have my Raptors? I don't. I don't have your Raptors anywhere. I don't think the Raptors are on my radar or anybody's radar right now. Mick and Hayward, you're up next on the Jim Rome Show. How are you, Mick?
Hey, I am great, JT. Hey there, Brickster. Hey there, America. You know, being in the Brick House for 25 years, this is my first visit to the Jim Rome Show. Glad to see you back in the seat where you won it all in 95. You know, Brickster, I am the most fortunate Northern California sports fan because I have gotten paid to work 7 victory parades and celebrations, 3 with the Giants, and now 4 with the Warriors. This last one was really sweet because the Warriors had to bounce back from a lot of adversity. They had lots of injuries this season. They came back, and they had to take out the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, and the Mavericks, and finally the Celtics to hoist that trophy again. And no KD, no problem, because they picked up role players like Andrew Wiggins and Kevin Looney to help them get to where they got to. And you got to mention the pea shooters, Gary Payton II, Jordan Poole, and Otto Porter. But we know who the real stars are. That's right. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, who was 941 days out because of injury. But what they did was so remarkable. And after the last 2 seasons of missing the playoffs, having the worst NBA record in 2019, and they come back this season to hoist that trophy again in the city of my birth, San Francisco. So yeah, that's it. Short and sweet for me. Congratulations, Warriors. And on my way out, I got one thing to say. Charles Barkley, how do you like my Warriors now?
Yep.
See you, JT.
Barkley's a friend of mine, and he went hard. He went all in heavy on the Warriors. Mick, who just called, was a was a roadie for the Grateful Dead going back that far, and he's worked 7 championship parades, 3 with the Giants and 4 with the Warriors. Look, I didn't think the Warriors were going to win this year because I thought 2 teams were better, Miami and Phoenix. And the collapse of Phoenix was just absolutely remarkable. I mean, they were on cruise control until Dallas and Luka got him. And I think if they would have stabilized in that series, if they would have won that series earlier against Dallas, I think they could have beat the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors played great, and they're a worthy champion. But Phoenix was better all year long, and that was a classic collapse and a really bad collapse. And it doesn't seem like they want to come back. I talked about Ayton, DeAndre Ayton. I think he's going to be the biggest player on the move. I think by this weekend it'll be a sign and trade to Indy, and he'll be great in Indy. You know, there's not many big men left in the league that you can drop the ball into and run plays through the low post. You can do that with Ayton. And for whatever reason, Robert Sarver, the owner of Phoenix, doesn't want to do it. They don't want to pay him. And that's insane. And then the breaking news about Miles Bridges. And let's stop for a second. Let's stop for a second with Miles Bridges. He was just charged on a domestic violence charge the other night. And he just got out of jail. He was linked to the Detroit Pistons. He's from Flint. He went to Michigan State. He's looking to sign a 4-year, $130 million deal. Arrested for domestic violence. Now, everybody's talking about the timing. There's no timing for domestic violence. Whenever it happens, it has to be stopped. And men need to step up and stop it. Men in their communities, in their families, need to stop it. And this guy's been giving us warning signs for a while that he's a bit out there. And now I put the pressure on Michael Jordan. I think this is the biggest decision Michael Jordan's ever had as an executive, as an owner. Michael Jordan can do the right thing and get rid of him and say, I don't want this kid in Charlotte. Or he can sign him to a deal for less than what he wants, or he can just move him, do a sign and trade and send him to Flint. That's a big deal. And then Jalen Brunson, as I started off the show, I'm just shocked that the Knicks are going all in on this. When we look at Jalen Brunson, it really is bizarre to me. It's almost like everybody wanted to get hired. His dad, Rick Brunson, got a job there on the staff to help his son get there. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I got my son here with me today. Anything I can do to help. But I'm not getting my son a $110 million job. This is insanity. So that's what's happening here. I think that there'll be a couple of sign-in trades later today, and we'll report on them tomorrow as we put our guest list tomorrow. Garrett Ritt, who do we have up here now? I couldn't pronounce the name. I'm going to let you do it. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned Detroit just a minute ago, and I don't know if this guy is if it's his real name or if it's an amazing self-gloss, but Super Racide.
Super Racide.
All right, is
put him
Detroit.
Up. Put him up in the jungle here. Go ahead.
What's good, y'all? Yes, this is Detroit, Michigan, Motown, Super Motown.
Love
this
Detroit.
Is Super Racide. Letting the world know I'm here right away. I appreciate you taking the call, brother. And what a concept. Actually taking calls on this show. Thank you so much, brother.
I'm one of the last to do it. I'm one of the last and only to do it. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. Yeah, taking calls on a regular. But anyway, here we go. Let's go with the Kyrie Irving situation first and foremost. Answer this question for me, please, once I finish. Everybody answer this question. Who did who a favor first? Who did who a favor? Did the Brooklyn Nets do Kyrie Irving a favor? No, not. And they got the nerve to try to play some type of, you know, well, our culture, this, our culture. Bro, your culture was pretty much close to being the bottom feeder before Kyrie and KD got over there. So you need to do the best that you can to work this man's contract out once that 1 year is up. So don't try to play no type of hardball or anything like that. Of course, yeah, Kyrie, show up for your games. Or if you have if he has a proper excuse for missing games, then so be it. He took the Brooklyn Nets from, like I said, close to being bottom feeders to championship contenders just like that. And for everybody to have the nerve to say Brooklyn Nets need to do better, or the Brooklyn Nets need to hold out the Brooklyn Nets, please. KD need to stand by Kyrie too as well for when that next contract come around. To say, look, it's going to be a package deal. Me and him.
No.
You know, we're going to work this out together. Or
Super Racide. I got to roll, man. There's no more extensions for Durant and Kyrie. Okay, that's not going to happen. Okay? When we look at some of the deals, Shams is out there reporting, KD what's going to happen coming up here. I'm just telling you this. This is the last role for KD and Kyrie. That's it. Kyrie, if he, and there's a chance that Pat Riley's lurking in Miami. There is a chance for a sign and trade with Kyrie. As we wrap up the show today, here's the big colossal move that can happen. If the Brooklyn Nets are holding their cards close to them saying, we want nothing to do with Kyrie. We want nothing to do with him. And we're in a situation now where we want to get rid of him and move him. They're going to take their time and do that. And that would be epic to see. But if they can't do it, they're going to roll them out one more time. They're going to roll them out one more time and see if they can get it done. So there's a lot of reports coming out right now. Whoa! 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 Shams bomb! Kevin Durant has requested a trade out of Brooklyn. Whoa! Holy! Holy! Shams Charania. 3 minutes ago. What a show! This will go down in jungle fill-in history. Shams Charania, 3 minutes ago. Kevin Durant has requested a trade out of Brooklyn. Oh, I love it. I was just saying to that caller, there's no more role. These guys aren't going to stay together forever. Woo! Oh, someone get me to Javier's. Someone pour me a Tito's. On the rocks, Kevin Durant requesting a trade as I am live in Los Angeles on the Jim Rome Show. This show couldn't have been any better, and I had nothing to do with it. XR4TI, getting in my ear, getting in my ear. Kevin Durant requests a trade. USC going to the Big Ten? Oh, this is fantastic. What am I going to do the next 24 hours? Is the show set for tomorrow? Hell yeah, it is. Oh, I'm lining up my Durant bashers. In this Rolodex, I got an army of Durant bashers. Woo! Oh, this is good. Thanks again to everybody behind the scenes. Also, Rich Ackerman back in studio on the great updates. I'm JT. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back July 6th. I'll be back July 14th and 15th. Thanks for having me in Southern California on what's turning out to be an epic sports day. Off to the beach. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.